PMPG. Morning, PMG. It's gone. Portia.
Hi, Buddy.
Do you know this T-Bat?
T-Bat, now go pin the join on my toll.
Okay. No, I wanted that. I wanted spending because it makes it.
Morning. Sorry, my mic was off.
No, that's fine. I wanted your saying because it makes.
Oh, my sending is my toll.
I see now. Yeah, good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Zolan, Mr. Sakaza, how are you?
I'm good, Chair. I'm good, how are you, Chair?
Okay, I'm surviving. Okay. There's somebody on getting a gadget.
Yes, I see who Timat say Maton. I'm sure she's listening.
Yes, it's me. Sorry, I'm using two gadgets because I'm recording the meeting. So my laptop is using an internal mic.
You see, there's an echo, but fortunately, we don't speak in our meetings, so you won't be.
Yes. Thanks.
All right. Awavukanga lamalunga akho.
Which is sabona bathathu.
Zolan?
Yes, Chair.
And the ask you, iPad, when can I lash egg? Ungola said,
you can have our tikwak, I mean, to Musa too.
No, in the end, I think I'm going to use my phone because it's an sokolisa, and I take.
Okay, Chair.
iPad.
Hi, Chair. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Mr. Vikram. How are you?
I'm good. You all right?
Yes, I'm surviving.
Now you're looking fit and strong. What's surviving?
Oh, thank
you. Like a lion.
Thank you. Thank you. But it has not been easy.
No, I understand that fully.
It has not been easy, but well, what else can I do?
No, you're back. You're back with a strength.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to switch to my phone because this I got cut some time when I was speaking with Zolan, so I don't want it to mess up my meeting.
There's load shedding in the country.
Yes. So I must use my phone.
Yeah, I'm on my phone.
No.
Thanks. I'll wait.
Good morning, honorable members. By the looks, everybody is in.
Recording in progress.
I'm just showing you my photo that I'm still alive and kicking back from the sick leave. But, I'm trying my best. I'm using because the iPad is not reliable. Thank you, Mr. Man. Honorable members, so we are then now going to adopt. We have received the first draft of our budget vote a report. But before that, let me thank the whip for holding the fort. And that's why he's called a whip, is that at times like the times that we're coming from, he is to hold the whip. And thank you very much, Mr. Nontsele, Honorable Nontsele, for providing that leadership. And also want to thank honorable members for allowing him to provide that leadership. I'm raising that because I got the report from the secretariat that at least everything went well. I will then, and I hope we are surviving. We're holding our meeting at the most difficult times of our country, with the disaster in KZN. When I tried to get a feel from the PLO if our offices have not been affected, he's saying no. But obviously, we will be aware that we will get a litany of claims from the affected parties. So that we have not been affected, we will be affected in one way or another in terms of the volume of claims that will either be going to UIF and whatever the compensation fund, but what comes first for me is the UIF. So we will wait patiently, maybe at an appropriate time. We will then be either get a report through the various committees that are directly affected, and we will then be informed of what then will then be our role and our responsibility in terms of that. So we and unfortunately we are quickly going to be affected by load shedding. But I want to thank members for availing themselves when we've changed the time to from 9 o'clock to 8:30. Thank you very much for being and for understanding and cooperating. As usual, members of this committee, they are very understanding when requested. We will then request Mr. Sakaza to take us through the roll call, and I think if we do have visitors, it will be just one or two. It will be one as usual, because this is our own internal, as the portfolio committee, a process. Over to you, Mr. Sakaza. Mr. Sakaza.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to all the members. Chair, we've got the following members present today. For May, got yourself, Chair, Honorable Junja.
Sorry, Mr. Sakaza. Your network, I don't know whether you are a bit far from the. Please.
Can everyone hear me now?
Yes.
Yebo, yes.
Thank you, honorable members. I was saying, Chair, we've got the following members here today. We've got yourself, Honorable Chair Dunjwa. We've got Honorable Makubele, Honorable Nonsele, Honorable Zuma, Honorable Bagram, Honorable Kado, Honorable Yinana, Honorable Mkondo, and Honorable Daniel. Earlier I saw somebody, Chair, with a Nokia one, so I wasn't sure whether it's one of the members that I mentioned, but that person has disappeared again. From the staff, Chair, we've got myself, committee secretary, we've got Koshi Andaberi, the committee assistant, we've got Mr. Ngobo, the content advisor, we've got Mr. Mukwena, the researcher. I see Honorable Volmaras is joining. He just admitted him. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sakaza. I saw the other person. Can she or he introduce herself? There's this. Can she or tell us? When I got back to the PMG, Zolani, they like to just disappear, but it's fine.
Her name is Dibatse Mathole from PMG. I spoke to her earlier on to give the surname also. She did and she left. So it's Mathole from PMG.
No, thank you very much. Can you then, through the screen, take us through the agenda, please?
The budget vote report, Chair, the draft budget vote.
I think all members do have that.
Can I put it on the screen then?
Yes, I think that will be fine. That will be fine. If it's fine with members.
Mr. Ngobo will take the members through the court. Thank you.
What I will Zulani. No.
Sorry.
No, Zulani. No, Zulani. Why now are you introducing things that I don't know?
My apologies, sir.
Oh, remember, I want to propose, if that is fine with the, with members, that we just go through the introduction, because it's a part of that. Just take it. Then go through to just programs. And going through the programs is just the heading of the programs to ensure that all programs are here. Not unless there are issues that honorable members have picked up. Because after that, I would propose that we just name the entities, and then after that we go to our observations and recommendations, if that is fine with members. If members want us to go from page one up to the last page, up to page 45, page by page, I'm fine with that. But if then we just look into if there are any comments in terms of the introduction and strike plan, the government, MTS, F priorities, then we go to observations. I'm okay with that. In whatever way, I just wanted to check with members which way they will think that it will be fine for us. Any takers to that recommendation? If there is none, can we go page by page? The introduction, there is the topic of the report of the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour on Budget Vote 31, Employment and Labour, the strike plan of the department and entities, and the annual performance plan on the department and entities, 22-23. Introduction, any comments? Am I still audible?
Yes, yes, you are, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Oh, what I need to talk. Introduction, any comments? None. Point two, the strike plan of the Department of Employment and Labor. Point 2.1, any comments? That is just illustrated that programs and entities of the department, the function of the department, taking us through the entities of the department, there they are listed. The department and this MTSF framework. That's point 2.3. Any comments? None.
Chairperson?
Mr. Inane?
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. On page 3, 2.3.2, I just want to highlight, to make this observation, where it says that the five-year target is to monitor and so on and so on. But what is missing for us to get the content of this sentence or this paragraph was what has been achieved as so far as the job summit and the job creation that has to contribute to the employment, especially of the youth.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done, sir. I'm sorry. That's an observation of what is missing. That you, because I think we're supposed to get the actual what is the achievement of that job summit agreement, so that you can see how it tackles the current and high unemployment rate.
Well, I was not part of the sitting, but I will. If then you are taking that as an observation, I would advise that you jot that down, so that when we come into observations, you reflect on that. And that members will then remember that this is what was then presented to members. So if there's something that you have observed in terms of the presentation by the department, I would advise that you do that, so that when we are on observations, you reflect on what you are reflecting, so that members then engage on that.
Okay.
I hope that's fine with you.
Fine. It's fine, sir.
Okay. Can we... 2.3.1? Any comments? 2.3? 2.2, that is page 3, 2.3.4, nothing, no comments, 2.3.5, social cohesion and safer communities. Point 3.6, which is priority 7, a better Africa and a better world. Then we are on 2.4, the annual performance plan of the Department of Employment and Labor. There are the issues, members, which is 2.4.1. That's the program of the department as it was presented. 2.4.1.1, the risks and mitigations. Then program 2, IES. Any comments? 2.4.2.1, also the risks in terms of that program. Program 3, public employment services.
Chair.
Honorable Mkhonto.
Morning, Chair. Can I come in?
On
inspection services.
Okay.
I think it's 2.4.2. Yes. Chair, I just want to check. Because Chair, we always talk about this and we ask, we are given answers. It is written here, the purpose of this program is to realize decent work by regulating non-employment and employment conditions through inspection and enforcement to achieve compliance with all labor market policies. Chair, the question that we always ask is to, from the inspection enforcement services, that do they wait for people to come and report to them about the things that are anormal in the workplace, or they identify them? And always they say, no, we do both. But Chair, I asked myself to what happened to the during the May Day, what happened in Mahikeng, when workers had to take their matters to the president, and the Department of Employment and Labor seemingly did not have any sense as to exactly what is going on there. So, Chair, do we have any chance to improve in things very important as these ones? Because if you listen to what the workers were complaining there, those things have been in newspapers, they've been on social media, they've been everywhere that those workers are complaining. So I really felt embarrassed as part of this department on what happened on May Day, as to why didn't we pick up this thing even before it happened and address those workers. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, Honourable Mkhondo, please pack that, so that when we are in the observations, we reflect on our observations in terms of what has been presented, what we asked the department when presentations were made, what was then the response of the department, but also the political observations that we have made on issues that have transpired post the presentation of this report. So I will advise and request members to do that, because remember that some of the things that we are reflecting on here, they would then need a response from the department, which unfortunately, each time they were here before the committee, questions were asked. But when we are dealing with our draft report, we don't invite them, because it's our internal things, and we will then reflect on issues that when we ask questions were not requests, were not responded to our satisfaction. That will then be our observations, and then we come with our recommendations. I will humbly request that process, because my understanding is that, unfortunately, I was not part of this committee sitting, so you are the people that are more empowered on how then the department responded. I am coming in with that intervention for the future as we move on with this, that please, if it's questions, if there are things that you are not happy with, that on how the department responded on, Let's wait until we come to our observations again. If it's our political observations in terms of the work of this department, let's wait until we are in that observations, and then how then we recommend. I will humbly request members to do that. The reason that I was proposing that we don't go entity by entity, program by program in terms of the department entities, and we go into the observations is because and recommendations is because I'm of the understanding that members do have their questions in front of them, how the department responded, and what is it that they are not happy with, and what is it that then they will recommend to the minister in terms of how then the issues are, because remember that at the end he is the buck stops with him, because he's the political head of that department. I hope that intervention is an intervention that is understood by members. Thank you. So, Honorable Mkhonto, Honorable Ginana, your issues that you have raised, I am not downplaying them, but I'm saying we will come towards the end when we do when we interact with our observations, we will then reflect on them. Can we continue? With this pace, honorable members, do you think that will it not be wise that we just check on the layout if it's in line with the presentations? I'm making an example, entities, they are all mentioned there, and there's their programs and their strat plan likewise. And then we then go straight to our observations and our recommendations.
I think that would be very wise, Michael Bagram. I think it'd be excellent.
Thank you, Honorable Bagram. Is there somebody who has got a problem with that approach, which has been formally moved by Honorable Bagram? Honorable members, why are you quiet today? Are you here? Is everybody here?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honorable
Chair.
Honorable
Chair. I support what you propose and what Honorable Bagram also support. Yeah, because as you correctly point out, is that we don't have a department to respond to anything, meaning that we, as you correctly pointed out again, that we need to, where we see anything that we think that it could be shaped in a particular way, not just raise it, but also put a proposal if we agree, so that it be considered by the meeting. Other than that, I think, Chair, your guidance is fine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Mr. Sakaza, can you take us?
Yes, Chair, I'm here, but I was listening. Can I take you to which page exactly?
Yes, we're on page 42.
Okay.
Point 4. I hope members do have their thing. Well, maybe some of them are using the same gadgets. The committee observations, the committee made the following observations in terms of the Department of Employment and Labor and Public Employment Services. Any comments? And remember that your comments, honorable members, your corrections, your additions will be in line with what you asked the department and what was then the response of the department. What you asked the department and what was the response of the department. So our comments in terms of our observations will be in line with that. As I've said initially, because I want to labor on this. If you ask questions, you're asking us questions, who's going to respond? They are not here to respond, but you asked questions. They responded. That's why it's important that you dot your question, you dot a response from a particular person, whether it's the minister, the DG, the entities, whatever. So that's where we are now. Any comments? That's 4.1. That is the department. Honorable Benjamin, are you on 4.1?
Yeah, I'm on 4.1. My comment is, aren't we making an observation that not much has been done in employment creation on the DEL?
Okay, that will be your observation. Are you done?
Yes, Madam Chair. No.
Okay, honourable members, there is a point raised by Honourable Begram that in our observations, in terms of the department, the observation is that not much has been done on job creation by the Department of Employment and Labour. Any takers on that?
Honourable Chair, I did try to raise my hand. I don't know.
Okay. Honourable Nonsele?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. I think what Honourable Begram says is fine, but the question of how we then capture that, I think that's the point. Because if you go to bullet one and bullet two, including up to bullet one, bullet two, and bullet three, in fact, this is in fact aptly captured with regard to the quotas where in fact unemployment has in fact been on the increase, in as much as there has been in terms of the expanded unemployment rate over the same period. The key question then is what are the key reason or underlying reason? Because if, for instance, the statement is thrown without necessarily taking into account the circumstances, because that's the period wherein we went through the high lockdown, that is from 2020 up until late 2021, including early 2022, which basically saw about 2.2 million jobs being shed. So I think if, for instance, we cover that proposal, my submission would be that it should not just be thrown and left in that fashion, but it should be also made as an observation that takes into account the circumstances that prevailed at the time, the issues of the COVID-19 and the subsequent lockdown and the 2.2 jobs that were lost as a direct result of the impact of COVID-19 and its related interventions. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Montelli. I saw your hand, Honorable Cado.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm very pleased that this point has been made in 4.1, because historically we haven't really said anything about the unemployment rate in South Africa. So I'm glad to see that this historical omission has been rectified here. What I would suggest is that we make an observation about the department itself and its given role in facilitating or creating an environment that's conducive to job creation. And perhaps an observation needs to be made about what our committee thinks the department has done to integrate this employment creation aspect of the portfolio into a department which used to just be called the Department of Labor and which used to focus more narrowly on the specifically labor and labor regulation and labor inspection side of the portfolio. So perhaps we do need an observation about what we think the department has achieved or how it's gone about trying to integrate the two functions, because that would then enable us to set up a recommendation later. We have recommended in the past that the committee be briefed more regularly by the department on its efforts to integrate the job creation aspect into its programs and structures. So perhaps we should set up that recommendation with an observation here. Thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. I see, Honorable Nonsele, do you want to come back?
Yes, honorable. Honorable Chair, on my side, I think the point raised by Honorable Kato is fine, but my suggestion or proposal would be that if it's integrated as part and parcel of that point that I've raised, because the issue of the expanded mandate be factored as a point that is being observed first. And then the extent to which that it has been able to be carried out by the department, then it becomes then a second point that then gives an expression to the extent to which that mandate has been fulfilled. And then the third point would be then the circumstances and the conditions that prevailed over the period under review, which I've aptly covered earlier on, that is the issues relating to the onset of COVID-19, the 2.2 jobs that have been lost, and the interventions that the department has made in order to save jobs. Because the consequence of that has been the instruments to create jobs have been blunted, in the sense that the attention has been more to save job, hence the introduction of the TES and other government interventions that were made over that period. But that's not the area that to be captured. I'm just trying to amplify the point in support or in a manner that seeks to also add more flesh to what Honorable Kato has said. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Now, can I then propose, for the benefit of the describers, that you, either between yourself or Honorable Kato, put that in writing, so that before we go into recommendations, we look into that. And but bearing in mind that you must also then have to prepare an additional recommendation in line with what you are proposing, so that subscribers are able to if they haven't captured it, if they have captured it, they will circulate it to you, for you, the two of you, to give a note, And if they have not, if you feel like reworking that, it will be fine. So that we don't take much time on one point. I hope you will understand and you'll cooperate in that respect. Can we then go to our observations on 4.2, which is productivity SA?
Sorry, Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Chair, I would opt for the latter part of your recommendation that describes should in fact read as what they have captured. Problem. Okay. On my side, I'm in a very terrible situation here. I can't even write.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ngobo, I hope you have been listening. Mr. Ngobo, the content advisor, you have been listening and you will then draft. And towards the end, you will expose us to that, so that Honourable members can make any corrections or amendments to what you have written. 4.2 productivity SA. Any comments?
If I may,
Honourable Bikram.
We've said that. I'm just having a look at the last bullet point. The top 10 countries in the world competitive and national productivity strategies, and we've said. I'm just not sure if we could maybe make an observation that we've spent a lot of money on productivity SA, and somehow the money is not. We've been in that same position, 62 out of 63, for almost 10 years. There must be a better way of, maybe our observation is, I don't know what it is, but must be a better way of spending hard-earned government money instead of the same as usual. There's been no difference in what we've done for many years in productivity South Africa. I'm not saying we must get rid of productivity, South Africa, but what I am saying is we're spending good money, which our government can ill afford, and somehow nothing comes out of it. So there must be, and my observation is there must be a different way of doing things. But I hear what Honorable Nonsele said earlier, how do we actually unpack that? And I don't really know how we're going to unpack it, but it can't be business as usual because this money could be spent effectively on, for instance, the CCMA or even on the Department of Employment and Labour on job creation. But just to have productivity sitting there and keeping us as the lowest in the world or second lowest in the world, it's very sad. And I'm sorry to not give you an actual idea of where I'm coming from. I'm not a sociologist.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Chair?
Honorable Mkhonto?
There is a point. I can't remember whether it is here or it is in the observation recommendations. There is a point that is not included here, and we agreed upon it, that productivity SA must go to those countries, maybe the top 10 countries that are doing well in productivity, and maybe and draw some lessons as to exactly how do they contribute into their countries to be more productive. And I don't see that point here, because we have countries that are always performing, Chair. Maybe we can draw one or two lessons from them. We agreed on that point, and I don't see it here. Thank you.
Any other comment before I come in? I think, honourable members, honourable Bikram, it was more of a comment. Honourable Nkonto, I think that the we are 62 out of 63. That is an observation, and then when we'll then be coming into recommendations, we'll then lift up what you are raising if it's not reflecting. If it's not reflecting, or if it's not structured properly to reflect really a matter that you are raising, we then have projected. So I'm saying when we will then be in recommendations, we will talk about that in line with what we have observed in terms of where we are as the country on productivity. Agreed? On 4.3 CCMA, any comments? And none? 4.4, which is NEDLAC?
Sorry, Chair, I did have a comment. My hand is up.
Oh, sorry, I see. Okay. Honorable Kato.
I just wanted to know why we've mentioned this thing about the Minister of Finance tabling a response at NEDLAC to the Constitutional Court judgment on preferential procurement regulations. I'm not sure why we have that first observation under NEDLAC. I think the observation needs to be better contextualized in terms of the budget. Why do we feel it necessary to observe this particular point?
I would prefer, rather than asking a question, why don't you make a proposal?
Well, my proposal would probably exclude these two bullet points. On recommendations to do with NEDLAC, I would rather observe something about the fact that NEDLAC is reevaluating its foundational statutes and its mission and mandate, and that would set up the recommendation later that we needed to be briefed as a committee regularly by NEDLAC on exactly what progress is being made in that regard to try and remedy some of the defects that have been diagnosed about NEDLAC over the years, that it's a talk shop, that it excludes all sorts of role players, excludes the voice of the unemployed. I just don't know why we are jumping into an observation about the Minister of Finance and the Constitutional Court judgment. I might be able to understand it better if the reason for its inclusion was explained. It just seems to have been dropped in there without any rationale, without any explanation.
Honourable
Nonsele. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I think the point here that perhaps in part support of what Honourable Kato is raising is perhaps whether, for instance, we should not look into reframe the key points, because what essentially, in my view, has been an attempt here is to capture the key moment that NEDLAC has gone through. But the unfortunate part, it focuses only on one area, on one key area, at the exclusion of the others, which Honorable Bikram has, your Honorable Kato has raised. So my suggestion is that rather than to delete, but rather incorporate those areas that NEDLAC has been engaged in, so that it does not exclusively reflect just one area at the exclusion of a range of other key areas of focus that NEDLAC has been engaged in. For instance, if we talk the issue, the area, for instance, of the interventions that have been made as part and parcel of our response to COVID-19, those areas were in fact agreements with social partners agreed at NetLed, including the tests that I spoke to earlier on, and other measures that social partners agreed on with the government. So if the focus areas that we highlight in our report are only limited to this one point, because although it's two bullets, but it's one point, they can just be integrated as one point, but then we capture a number of other areas that in fact over the period that NetLeg has been engaged in, including what Honorable Kadu has raised and the issues that relate to the overall agreements in terms of the response to COVID-19, including the issue, Chair, of the social contract that currently NetLeg is involved in as part and parcel of the 100 days a key program that President has in fact announced in Parliament. So there's quite a basket of activities that are very key for inclusion other than just this one. And I would propose, as we do that, Chair, rather than to remove it, but we'll just consolidate it as one bullet point and then add the point as we agree and in terms of the proposal. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Honorable Nocele. Any other taker?
Michael Bagram.
Yes, Mr. Bagram.
I thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. The two points I wanted to raise, one, which I know has not been popular with NEDLAC, and that is when debates take place within NEDLAC and agreement is reached between the social partners, those agreements very seldom get followed by legislation thereafter. I can give you a whole lot of examples, but it should be given a little bit more credence when they reach an agreement in NEDLAC. That's the one point. The second point is that when I put to the minister in a discussion about NEDLAC, I asked if they will be debating the changes to the legislation in terms of what we've seen over COVID, where people are now starting to work from home and their labor laws need to be updated to encompass and encourage homework as opposed to working at the office solely. And the minister had then answered saying that this must be debated at NEDLAC, and his understanding is they've started those discussions. I just wanted that possibly as an observation as well, which is a good, it's a good push by the minister to start looking at the possibility of changes to our Basic Conditions of Employment Act in particular, and the health and safety regulations more minutely as to what happens when people are working at home. So I just wanted to put those two things into the NEDLAC observation, if at all possible. Thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you, honorable members. I hope the describers, as you are articulating your points, I hope they are jotting down something, because when we are then done with the observations, they will have to come back and just put what they have then constructed in terms of the issues that you are raising, which are really very important. We will then pass that, because there's nobody who's objecting on that, on the issues that you have raised. Will you please lower your hand, Honorable Bagram? I'm sure it's an old hand. Can we then go to compensation fund 4.5? 4.6 UIF.
Yes, I would like to say something, Madam Chair.
On UIF?
Yeah, I was a bit late on the compensation fund, but I'm happy to also talk about the UIF.
Okay.
With regard to the UIF, we are still getting hundreds of, and I'm sure all the members of this committee are getting hundreds of queries about non-payment of, still way back of the TERS, of the tardy responses that we're getting from the department with regard to the structuring and the payment of the UIF itself. And there seems to be real problems with the offices, people coming into the offices, long queues again, people not answering the phone. The public are still very, very angry. And somehow we're not really looking at it. We're saying there are plans to review to improve the efficiency. But we need to actually say that it's been really disappointing. These last 2 years have been absolutely drastically disappointing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments on UIF? None.
Madam Chair. Sorry. Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure how we can frame it in terms of observations, but as part of bullet 3 that talks to the issue of COVID-19 test payments, the issues related to challenges encountered, including the steps that have been taken, that summary process and so on, so that it does not come as a clean environment, as that we by us adopting this approach, we indirectly also say that those were secondary problems. Because at the end of the day, as a committee, we should be able to be holding our head high and saying we have dealt with all the issues, including the issues related to malfeasance that has taken place over the period. So if the bullet or an additional bullet can be made, just to reflect to the steps that have been taken relating to those misdemeanors that have characterized our intervention relative to COVID-19 test payments. The second point, Chair, relates to the issue of the management of the investment portfolio of the UIF. I think the extent to which there's been negativity with regard to that needs also to be factored in, so that when we go to the recommendations, we can then make bold recommendations with regard to how the investment portfolio of the UIF has been managed. Maybe just to amplify the point here, Chair, the point is the basically twofold. Honorable members would recall the collapse of the investments that were made to save a company, name. But then there is another current case also, wherein another company also, those were billions of rands that were invested there. The issues arise on the investment side, in terms of the portfolios that are held or are invested with the PIC, where UIF monies are in fact used in investments that are in fact collapsing later on. and by extension, the UIF losing billions of rands. I think it would be amiss on the part of the committee to remain silent on these matters. And if just as a matter of principle, we note that, and then so that when we go to the recommendations, then we make a solid recommendation on how and what steps should be taken to ensure that we in fact bring an end or bring those responsible to account. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. Thank you, honourable members.
I think the really is the
Madam Chair, I wanted to just follow on from what Ms. Honourable Nonsela had to say.
My hand is also up, Chair.
Yes. Yes, Honourable Baker.
Thank you. I would strongly support what the Honourable Nonsela had to say, because as part of the recommendations, I'm going to suggest that we look to litigation and we start prosecuting people who might have stolen that money that was invested through the PIC. The UIF has been depleted very heavily over COVID and because of the TERS payment. And then on top of it, we've had billions stolen through the PIC. And I'd like to make my recommendation thereafter, which I've got a note on, where we are looking for prosecution and to try and get squeeze some of that money back through the directors of those companies. The companies are liquidated, but maybe the directors are responsible and we should get money back for the UIF. So I'm strongly behind the Honourable.
Thank you, Honourable Kado.
Thank you, Chair. I think one of the absolutely crucial observations we need to make here is the point flagged with us by the Auditor General, and that is that if the UIF continues on its current trajectory, the financial sustainability of the fund is receiving fewer contributions than benefits over the last 6 months, which has caused it to eat further and further into its surplus. And that
No, thank you very much, honourable members. There's I think you have raised valuable points on this issue of UIF, but I also want to maybe in terms of yes, they in terms outside the investment portfolio. But there are also other companies that have really messed up and run away with money. So on this appointment, maybe I want to make and maybe it will come to our recommendation that those companies must be exposed. We can't. I will speak more on it when we come into the issue of our recommendation in terms of UIF and the CARES money. Because really, what is coming up in terms of the investment portfolio is shocking, and we'll then have to really look into that, because we will be judged very harsh by history, because this entity is under, it's one of the entities that are under the department which we are oversighting, and we'll have to raise those issues. And again, describers, I hope, just be pointed and straight to the point on what we are really observing. We will speak more when we are on our recommendations, which we are on, which is 0.5 now. There are the recommendations, but I want to upfront what I want to, so that when members speak on these recommendations, they do factor that in. It's about time now that we do put a time frame in terms of what we are recommending, of what then should be the minister do as a political head in terms of what we. When I went through these recommendations, the time frame is a bit silent, and we can't have recommendations done which don't have time frames, because that's how things fell within the cracks. So I want to put that up front, so that when members are then speaking, they speak and they really put time frames on the recommendations that we are putting forth in terms of the department and its entities. 5.1, there are the recommendations that have been put.
May I comment, madam?
Honorable Inanna, Honorable Baker.
Okay, thank you, Chair. On 5.1, I do accept and agree that the department must improve the employment rate on the SMEs, which is the supported employment enterprises. And because most this the employees in this enterprise, some of them are disabled and yet have got that capacity of being productive. Now that the money has been allocated to the department, which increased from 3.81 billion to 3.95. I wanted to make, therefore, a recommendation to say that they be provided with the transport. If other provinces can provide the transport to the disabled people in the form of dial a ride, I think where the enterprises are having these constituencies of the disabled people, they need therefore to be provided with the transport. The second recommendation, Chair, that I want to put forward is that the department should look at large to the community of SEEs, because they are suffering for being marginalized and also marginalized by the department. Despite the fact, Chairperson, that this committee recommended that the state must take it an initiative to improve the quality of the workplace of these employees who are under these entities. And that is reflected on page 44, that indeed the department, the portfolio committee made that recommend that there should therefore be a professional treatment of these employees by the state. And in terms of the time frame, Chairperson, to check whether this is implemented, I think we must have a quarter report of how far the department is doing roll out these initiatives to improve the quality of the SEEs. Thank you, Richard.
Honorable Bakram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of things with regard to the job creation issue and the mandate to improve the unemployment rate. I know that, and I'm not sure which entity is doing this investigation, but there is an entity set up by government where they're looking at all the laws which are somehow creating a handbrake to job creation. And I think the department itself, the Department of Employment and Labour, needs to have a relook at the legislation, all the legislation, and see what's standing in the way, for instance, of small business to create and encourage more business to employ more people. And I'm calling for a specific relook at all the laws. There are no holy cows here. Let's have a look at everything and see what stands in the way of small business with job creation. Exactly the same with the regulations. What regulations are standing in the way of job creation? And to see if we could try and reword it or relook at it. And obviously it's the minister's prerogative, but I would recommend that the minister has a look at that carefully. I know when I put it to the minister at one of our meetings, there was a positive response from the DG saying that they need to have a look at it. So I would call on them to give a time limit as to when they're going to look and what they're actually doing about it. That's the first thing. The second thing, with due deference to Honorable Hinana, quite right. But I believe strongly with regard to SEE that they should be working hand in glove with the various representatives in the disability sector. The disability sector itself have workshops. They know for instance, I'm very tied up with Epilepsy SA. They have workshops and they know how to create jobs and they know how to make these workshops at least a little bit profitable. And I believe that the SEE should be working hand in glove instead of recreating it themselves, instead of employing people themselves. Government should be encouraging and helping the various entities in the disability sector. We know also within government that we have 6% of the working population should be from the disabled sector. That represents 6% of our society, but it's less than 1%. I think it's 0.75 of even within government. And I think we should have a re-look at that disability sector working with the entities. You've got blind South Africa, you've got Deaf South Africa. We've got various organizations and those people get left out of the economy completely. And then finally, just in terms of the points about the bullet point number one, shouldn't we be encouraging the department to spend possibly more money on the inspectorate? Because everything follows on from the inspectorate. If you can't inspect the implementation of our laws, then no one adheres to the laws. It's a bit like having a traffic seat, a seatbelt law and no traffic ops. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Any takers? Honourable Mugabe?
Thank you, and Chair. Honourable Nonsai. Good morning to Honourable Members. My apology, Chair. I don't know. I thought the meeting starts at 9 and I didn't see that it started 8:30. I really apologize for that. I would like to sponsor a bullet point under 5.1 that talks to public employment services as part of a job creation, as part of the added mandate of the department of on the employment part. He sponsored a bullet point recommendation is that public employment services branch be restructured, repurposed, and set firmly on the task of coordinating and facilitating job creation intervention intra and inter departmental across government and agencies, including the private sector. That's a submission I'm making, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mugabe. And Honorable Nonsele, in your interaction, maybe you also reflect, it's a proposed point. Can we then have to get a formal mover on that? I see the next person is Honorable Nonsele.
Honorable Chair. Thank you, Chair. I didn't capture it properly. Maybe if Honorable Mdabe can repeat it.
Chair, through you, my submission is that Public Employment Services branch be restructured, repurposed, and set firmly on the task of coordinating and facilitating job creation interventions inter and interdepartmental across government agencies as well as the private sector.
Thank you.
No, that's
there it is.
Yes, Chair, I formally second the motion, Chair. Can I proceed then on the point that I wanted to make as well?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on the proposal that has been made with regard to the SEEs, I thought maybe, Chair, we would need to I support the proposal by Honorable Inan. Maybe what we need to do is basically to propose a more comprehensive package of benefits that seeks to improve the working conditions of the workers employed in this sector, taking into account that the workers in their majority are in fact those that are a designated group in terms of their disabilities. The point I'm raising, Chair, is that so that at the end of the day, the issues that Honorable Inanna correctly raises do not necessarily leave other related benefits out. Like, for instance, the question, I don't know what's going on, Chair. Can you protect us, Chair? Somebody is having his mic on, and that's why there is noise. Yeah, no, it's silent now, Chair. Chair, the point is that if, for instance, we can incorporate as part and parcel of the package that Honorable Inanna has spoken to, so that we, at the end of the day, sit with a package of better working conditions for those workers. One critical example that one can make is the point, for instance, of their ability to progress even up to management positions, so that there is absolutely no glass ceiling. I'm sorry that I would talk about the observation that I've made in some of the institutions that we've visited so far, where there seemed to be a glass ceiling in terms of them progressing up to senior levels, that is of management. So if, for instance, we can sort of talk into that, such that it creates conditions for them also to progress. And then you can see them emerging in managerial position, obviously with the requisite skills that recognize also the experience that they've acquired over the period whilst working in the institution, but at the same time also being exposed to the appropriate institutions who could help them to acquire the necessary qualifications so that they can then assume positions of responsibility in their institution. The last point on the same issue is the issue of them, because in some respects, some are in fact almost people who are old, who very soon would leave the institutions by way of natural attrition, either through retirement and so on. The point is that how do we value their skills and ensure that they, in fact, those skills are retained within the institution? I think that's an urgent point that needs to be addressed through planning within those SEEs. So that is in addition to what Honorable Hinana has raised. Then, so the point, Chair, I'm suggesting is that rather we talk about a package than just one, say the transport only, but a totality of the improved working condition, a package of improved working conditions for those workers engaged in the SEEs. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Volmerans.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the members on the platform. Chair, I'm also a little bit disadvantaged by the network. I keep on coming in and out. So if what I might mention might have been mentioned, my apologies from that side. Chair, you mentioned when we started that the department is not present. We are discussing our report and observations, and therefore we might flag some of the issues that might have needed their attention. And I don't know how they would find expression maybe in our recommendations and so forth. But it is an important point to make, Chair, that on one of the paragraphs, I think it's 2.4.2, where we deal with the labor compliance, the inspectorate, and so on. I wanted to find out how is it going to get into our recommendations. There's a point that deals with serving notices to 95% of non-compliant employers. And then it also gives another percentage on other non-compliant employers. Now, within 14 days, I would rather like to emphasize as a recommendation the 14 days part of it. The issuing of to non-compliant employers, the 14 days, as opposed to the 95%, which I, in my personal view, I think, although it's envisaged, but it is a little bit impractical if you don't know how many people you are talking about, and we are talking about 95% of the people that you might not know their number. And what it will mean is we will then rely on the complaints. So if it's 10 complaints, it means it might be about nine notices and so on. So I would rather emphasize on the 14-day period that is necessary. So I don't know how a person can factor it in into the recommendations. The second point that I wanted to mention, if I can mention the one that deals with CCM, before I leave the point, I mean the recommendation on the preferential procurement status of the SEEs. And that is the point that I hold, even for other SOEs, because we as a government, I think we are shying away from saying we have got entities that are our own entities as government, but they die because we want them to compete in where they are disadvantaged from our own other departments or sister departments. So the transversal issues that relate to the procurement within government and the department, sister department to sister department, I therefore support the question of engaging National Treasury on this matter and beyond for other departments as well. The CCMA that will open for walk-ins from the 1st of May, which I support, and which the department could not say.
Sorry, Honorable Valmaras. We are taking them. Yeah, we are not yet there.
Okay, no. I'm fine, Comrade Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, can I caution members? Because I didn't want to call members to order. Please, I know that we are from an oversight. An oversight that also oversighted SEE. Let us not be tempted to discuss our report on oversight to SEE by default. Because when this presentation was made, we have not yet started, we have not been engaged on an oversight. So please, Honorable Inanna, Honorable Nonsele, not that the issues that you are raising are not important on SEEs, but the report is then going to come on our oversight, which then some of the recommendations that you have made on SEEs will then be discussed and factored at that time. I thought I must raise that because I'm observing that by default we are touching on that we are still going to come. We will raise those issues there, but in this report we have not yet been. So that will be the challenges and the navigatings in terms of our reports, in terms of portfolio to Parliament. Our focus is on what has been reported by the department, which it's overlapping. But unfortunately, as it is overlapping, we can't then discuss the report of the oversight that has not yet been referred on our oversight when the report has not yet been tabled. I thought I must reflect on that, and I didn't want to cut you when you were talking, but I picked that, and I just want to make members to be aware. Honorable Mkhonto.
Thanks, Chair. When we started with the recommendations, Chair, you reminded us that we need to put our time frames, and I will be short, Chair. I think this one of the department to work with National Treasury, we really have to have a time frame, Chair, as to when are we expecting a report as a committee as to maybe the progress between the department and the National Treasury, or when are they finalizing it? I really feel, Chair, we have to put a time frame so that we don't have an open ended activity. Thanks, Chair. Chair?
Sorry, Honorable Nonsele, is that a legacy hand? Honorable Nonsele? Okay, Honorable Vermanas, can you please mute your mic? I don't know what has happened. Is it myself or is it a... we are on 5.2.
We are with you. We are with you.
On 5.2 productivity SA. In terms of Honorable Mkhonto, I want to put to the committee that because we have been saying this of the department working with Treasury since we came in 2019, I want to make a concrete proposal in terms of the time frame that within 30 days from now, the department must come and tell us what has been their interaction with the department, with National Treasury on this matter. That is the time frame that I'm putting on the department working with National Treasury. It can be. We've been saying this for almost 2 years, and nothing is coming to the fore. Even if we go to an extent that we, as the portfolio committee, we had a bilateral with the portfolio committee on finance on these matters, inviting the minister to come in and take us through exactly what is it that is a challenge here in terms of the SEE given preferential treatment, because it's almost 2 years. I see that there are some hands. I don't know whether Honorable Nonsele is a legacy hand. I see Honorable Bagram, I see Honorable Mkhondo. Whether Honorable Mkhondo is that a legacy hand?
It's not, Chair. I want to talk on productivity, SA.
Okay, just a minute. Honorable Nonsele, is that a legacy hand? Honorable Bagram?
I'd like to talk on productivity, SA, as well.
But there is a motion that I have put to the committee of 30 days. It's in two.
I would support that absolutely.
There are two motions. I don't know which one the committee will appreciate. Is that one either 30 days or we had a joint portfolio committee with Treasury through the portfolio committee on finance for us to be told what is the which of the two options which of the two motions is the committee supporting 30 days or a bilateral portfolio committee.
Chair.
Honorable Mkhondo.
I would support that of the bilateral with the Portfolio Committee of Finance. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Any seconder? Objections? No objections. Thank you. So we'll have to with the secretariat, we then have to identify a date. We will do that. In fact, within the next 2 weeks, Mr. Sakaza, we must work on that because that this thing is very, very, very urgent and very important. I've been calling Honorable Nonsele. His hand is up. I don't know whether it's a legacy hand. Can we then come to Productivity SA, Honorable Bagram, Honorable Mkhondo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. May I go ahead?
Yes, Honorable Bagram.
Thank you. On Productivity SA 5.2, in essence, we had made the observation that Productivity SA, it can't be business as usual and that we need to do something different. I see that at bullet point number 3, it said Productivity SA has to develop the National Productivity Strategy to improve productivity levels in the country. I think it's wrong for them to develop their own plan because we're going to get the same again, like we've seen for the last decade. And I believe that we should be stepping outside and maybe going to the universities or even putting it to NEDLAC to debate how we can get productivity up in this country. One of my suggestions is that, and it's a suggestion I made early on, is that productivity gets an outsider to have a look at what legislation, what regulations stand in the way of productivity. What is it that's making us, because we have, let's face it, we have productive people. We have good people. We have people who want to work hard. We have people who want to get back to work. But somehow our productivity is the lowest in the world, the second lowest in the world. There's got to be something wrong, and we can't get Productivity SA to look at themselves. And I've been saying that about all the entities. They set the target, they mark themselves, and then they pass. Productivity sets its own target, it marks itself, and it does very well every year, but meanwhile, we're the worst in the world. I think we need to go outside productivity, let even NEDLAC, if we want an internal discussion to happen, or go to undertake get students, master's students or doctoral students, to do a careful look at why are we so wrong, why are we been lagging behind the rest of the world, when we've got great people, we've got great assets in this country, we need to push something different. So that bullet point number three, I think, has to be reworded completely. Thank you.
Thank you, Kondo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, if an engine doesn't work, it needs to be fixed. Chair, as I said earlier on, during our meeting, we agreed that one of the recommendations that we are having, at least the top 10 countries that are doing well in as far as productivity is concerned. And we agreed that maybe our Productivity SA has to go and draw some lessons from those countries as to exactly how do they do it to effect productivity in their countries, because the internal performance, Chair, it doesn't benefit the country. It doesn't benefit the workers of this country. We need this country to be productive. So I don't see that a recommendation here, Chair. If maybe members I can still remember it. Chair, I request that it be added. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kondo. I wanted to make a slight amendment to the recommendation that has been made by Honorable Kondo. Before we go outside, is it not going to be important that, which I think we can do that, have a session or a meeting with all stakeholders in NEDLAC, for them first and foremost to outline which is business, government, and labor, and the community chambers, for them to tell us, in particular labor, what is their understanding of productivity, so that we don't hear it from one side. We hear it from business and labor in particular. So that when we go outside to other, we request Productivity SA to go and draw lessons to other countries, is that we have got an understanding of how the citizenry and the stakeholders in South Africa are understanding Productivity SA. Remember, in the workshop that we had with Productivity SA, they outlined what is their understanding of productivity and what is it that they are having. We heard that from only one side. We must also get the understanding and the feeling of the stakeholders. So the first step for me with that, let's have in the next 30 days, we must secure a meeting with all stakeholders. I think we do have that responsibility with all stakeholders in NEDLAC, If we are to go to NEDLAC and sit with them, that's all stakeholders, invite Productivity SA and the matter be discussed, and then we go into the second leg of drawing lessons from other countries. That's what I wanted to put to the. I think Honorable Bagram did talk about to have to speak with NEDLAC through its stakeholders, which is business, government, and labor and communities. Are we fine with that, Honorable Members? There are three hands that are forever up. I'm not quite sure whether it's old hands or it's new hands. Honorable Nontsele? Honorable Nontsele? Can I get a formal move?
It's an old hand, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Can I have a formal move on the amendment that I made? In fact, I'm sure by default I was supporting what Honorable Bagram was saying in terms of having a meeting or a session with NEDLAC.
I would agree and very strongly push that.
Are we in agreement with that?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next one, CCMA. Okay, NEDLAC. That recommendation, because the observation has been reworked, and it will then mean that the observation is also to be reworked, Mr. Ngom. So I hope you have picked that up, and you will then have to come in at the appropriate time to take us through what will then we are putting as a recommendation in line of what has then been reworked in terms of the observation. So I will pass that. We'll go to CIS, to Compensation Fund.
Oh, sorry.
Honorable Bagram, Honorable Nontsele, is your hand up? Honorable Bagram, Honorable Nontsele.
Yes, Chair, I'll follow.
Yeah, my hand is up as well. Thanks.
Honorable Bagram, you may speak.
Thank you, Chair. Just with the compensation fund, it's still the issue of third parties. And that is something that needs to be re-looked at. And I'm suggesting very strongly that the minister have a look at the issue with regard to his regulations as opposed to the legislation. You will recall that the legislation didn't change outlawing third parties, but the regulations have made it almost impossible. And the functionality of the compensation fund is still incredibly low, hence the need for people to get help. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nontsele.
Thank you, Chair. Not I was going to say, but the opposite of what Honorable Bagram is saying, rather to talk to the progress that has been made with regard to the regulations, ensuring that the operations of the fund are in fact standardized and normalized. Maybe what we can say as part and parcel of accommodating the area that maybe we can propose that there be an ongoing monitoring and reporting on the implementation of the regulations and challenges faced, so that the department is able to continuously keep us abreast of any challenges that are being encountered with regard to the implementation of the regulations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Do we have a problem with that, honourable members? None. I think we are fine with that. UIF. There are the recommendations.
I have a comment to make, Madam Chair.
Yes,
thank you. With regard to our observations, where I made the point that the public are still screaming out loud that they're not being helped, I see the first bullet point to improve efficiency. I think there needs a complete overhaul. I believe that the system is not working at all. Now, we can't blame the DG or the minister, because it looks like the staff on the ground are just not answering telephones, not helping people, losing their papers. It's an unbelievable, it's almost like a mutiny that's taken place across the country, where I regularly get reports of people saying they send in their paperwork 10 times and the staff lose it all the time and no one ever gets back to them. I just think there needs to be a complete overhaul. Thank you.
I want to now I'm putting it back to us and to you, honorable in particular, is that a request? Let us not be a province, a district that has got a problem. And I want to request members that they must not be tempted. We are still coming to the report of the oversight. It's about time now that we identify, we name. If it is Western Cape, we must be told it is Western Cape, which district? The Cape Town district. If it is Limpopo, it is where are these people? Where, from which province, from which district, so that we are able to, now, because we are not going to be able to correct whatever wrongs that are there in the UIF in terms of the service delivery. And I'm raising this now, I'm putting it to us as members that we must say it. We must say it, because we will be chasing our shadows running around, whereas we must be pointed and know where we want to hit the nail. So that's why I'm saying, as we move forward, those people that are sending are saying they are sending 10 requests or 10 to applications. Which office is that? I'm just making an example. I'm not saying respond now. I'm just picking up an example so that we're able to make the minister and the DG and the head of a province to account in terms of the Department of Employment and Labour around the issues of UIF. That was a comment. Honourable Nonsele, Honourable Dana.
Chair, thank you, Chair. It's just to say on the second bullet on UIF, if it can be firmed up so that it incorporates the spirit that has been raised under observations, so that it talks also to the issues relating to the management of the investment portfolio by the PIC, and the need for the committee to be comprehensively updated on those, particularly those failed investments that are currently part of the ongoing investigation by the investigative agencies. Thank you, sir.
Are you saying it must be that bullet two must be reworked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I hope you are listening. Honorable Dana?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Chair, I'd like to agree with yourself on the point that we should maybe make a list of the specific labor centers and regions where we have problems. But in the same breath, I'd like to agree with Honorable Bagram as well. I've just looked at my list of complaints that I've received, and I've received this similar complaints with regards to people having to submit their documents 10, 12 times over. And these complaints are from Gauteng, Northern Cape, Free State, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. I've just quickly looked at my list. So I wonder if we should not maybe consider making a recommendation that the quality of administration on ground level in labor centers should be looked at in order to stop these duplicate processes and frustration for people who need this money, but who have to submit and resubmit their documents all the time.
Okay. I think I hope the scribers are able to come up with a bullet point in terms of the how we are to look into the administration of these offices. No, thank you, honorable members. What we are going to do now, before we adopt, we are going to go back to recommendations on areas that you said they must be reworked. And Mr. Ngobo, are you ready?
Yes, Chairperson.
And you must flag them so that we are able to. Just on those areas that we said on observations, additions are to be made.
Chairperson, I made notes, but I could not make changes on the report itself because I don't have access to the report itself. So I'm just going to read from my notes that I made.
No, that is not going to assist us. Can I make a recommendation, honorable members? That which may be then a very because I don't want us to adopt a report on changes that we have made, and down the line we question it. Can we because we'll then have just to briefly do that next week. Can we agree that we will get they will circulate the report with all the additions, amendments, and corrections that have been made, so that next week, in the next 10 minutes next week, we formally adopt our report. Is that fine? Because I'm raising it because we had quite a number of additions and amendments. So I don't want us to just for the sake and next time we go on hindsight, it's very same members of the committee that are questioning their recommendations and observations. So silence means we're agreeing. You will circulate that, Mr. Sakaza. You will circulate that, Mr. Sakaza, by the end of tomorrow. Friday the latest, so that members next week, because we're going to deal with that first 10 minutes, we're going to deal with that on our meeting on Wednesday. Agreed? Next week. Agreed? Thank you. Thank you. Can you please, Mr. Sakazan, whose hand is this? Oh, it's Honorable Nontsele. Oh, okay. You're fine. Mr. Sakaza, our second point of the agenda, which is our committee program. Thank you. Honorable members, you will see we are putting the program for adoption, but I should say up front that some of the points here, like now I can't see because and we've done. Can you go up, Mr. Sakaza? Okay, where are we now? Okay. Members must say, okay. We were to have a joint, because I want to raise that so that when we adopt, we understand the dates of the oversights on our joint. Stop on our joint oversight with agriculture on the issues of visiting farms. There are going to be changes there, members. The program is still it's we are still going to go through that, but we have got some changes. It's not going to take place this weekend, and then both offices, that of the chair of the employment and labor and agriculture, will then have to rework and quickly circulate that. So we're presenting this for adoption in principle, and then when members see those changes, they are then it's only on the issues of joint oversight. Otherwise, others. There is no change. It remains as it is. I felt that it's important so that when we adopt that with that understanding. Thank you. Can we get a formal mover?
Okay.
Honorable Mkhonto.
I, Nonhlanhla Mkhonto, move for the adoption of the of our program with the amendments that still have to be effected.
Thank you. Can we get a seconder? Can we get a seconder, Honorable Nonsele?
Honorable Chair, I'm not Nonsele. Second the motion by Honorable Mkhonto for the adoption of the program as amended. So I move.
Thank you, Honorable Members. No, thank you very much. I just want to make the secretariat must ensure the latest is Friday. If it can be tomorrow, it's fine. Mm-hmm. The latest will be Friday, that the report that is circulated with those amendments and additions, and then so that members are then able to, if there are things that they just want to factor in, but must not factor in things that we didn't. If there are things that they would like to factor in, they will raise those in the meeting. But we won't take much time because we will zoom on those. It will zoom those areas that we have then make some amendments. With that, thank you very much. The only person who said. But he has not given me any sweets. yet. I'm still waiting for my chocolates. It's Mr. Baker. So when I came, when I come to Cape Town in that other week, after June, I want my chocolates. That was on a lighter note. Thank you very much.
I've got it ready for you.
Post
already. Yeah. The post office.
No, you must courier them. All right. Thank you very much, honorable members. Until we meet again next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye, colleagues.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Hi, Smoo.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm fine. I've survived. I've survived. And how is KZN?
Surviving.
Hey, we are trying at KZN.